I shall take as my text this morning this line from our second lesson, Gospel according to St. John. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was, in retrospect, a particularly vile and manipulative little child. Throughout my early years, there were numerous devices I employed in order to achieve my desires. One I particularly remember was to demand cast iron assurances for every half thought through response which my parents made to a request. Specifically, I would try and get them to promise that they would follow through on any pledge. Can I have an ice cream? Yes, but later on. Do you promise? I would demand. I suppose part of the process of growing up is learning the relative value of promises. The promises are not cheap things to be extracted on a childish whim. They are not a currency which can be backed up or traded merely on thin air. A promise is not the ruble. I'm reminded of the incredulity of Dame Barbara Windsor, whose catchphrase in the Carry On films was "promises, promises." She would deploy this in the face of Sid James, who would normally be promising something completely intangible and unlikely, be it riches or his own fidelity. "Promises, promises," she would say. She knew the value of Sid's promises and reacted in kind. If promises are traded on such dissipated clouds of unreality, then they become, as the great Dean Jonathan Swift observed, like pie crusts, but they are made merely to be broken. Evaluating our relationship with promises, and thereby with truth and otherness and beauty, is not only part of growing up, but part of parenting as well. At the very heart of the currency of the promise is trust. And trust, married to love, is at the heart of what motherhood is. At times, it may seem stretched, frayed even. And yet, the promise of it remains central to our conception of who we are as children or as parents. So rich is this association between motherhood and promise that St. Paul chooses it as the metaphor to expound the beauties of the faith to the Galatians. He draws our attention to the relationship between true, good motherhood and promise. He speaks profoundly of how true motherly relationships are not merely accidents of biology or of genetics. No, at the heart of mothering is promise, the promise of love. And that promise, the vow to love, the vow to be loved and to save, is at the heart of our relationship with the divine. To speak of God mothering us ought not to be a question of feminizing language for the sake of it, to score some sort of contemporaneous political point. But rather, it should be an honest interrogation of what it means to be mothered, of what it is to trust, of what it is to be promised things, and what it is to love and be loved. Paul states that we are children of promise. And what a claim to make. What a claim to make, especially in a world such as this. A world of pain and war and sin. A world where sometimes even mothers renege on those principles of trust. And I know that some of you, today will be a more painful day than for others. And so to claim that we are children of promise, and thereby children of hope, children of faith, children of love, to claim that we are children of all this, in a world that is littered with the pie crusts of broken promise is a bold claim indeed. And yet here it is that we get to the very heart of what this promise of which we are children, is truly about. In our lesson from the Gospel this morning, Jesus feeds his disciples. And we are used to that idea. The truth, in fact, that Jesus feeds us, both literally and metaphorically. We are used to the idea that he is the bread of life. And indeed, when we come to make our Holy Communion in a few moments, we will live that claim, that promise, as a reality. But then we will return to a world of fragments, to the pain of the world we see around us, and to the sin of our own lives. And yet, here is the salient fact, the crucial truth, the abiding promise at the heart of the whole faith. Jesus instructs his disciples to gather up the fragments so that nothing is lost. And this is the promise of which we are children, that the fragments of our lives, however broken and shattered they may seem, the fragments of this world, however wicked and sinful it might be, that these fragments will be gathered up, like a mother gathers up her children, into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Even our broken promises, our history and past of pain and deceit and sin, even these fragments are gathered up, gathered and brought to that place where we will stand on Good Friday, gathered and brought to the foot of the cross. And they are gathered in order that no thing, in order that no one, is lost. And then, after, in the tomb, through the glorious, mystical, life-giving work of that same Christ, these fragments, your fragments, my fragments, the world's fragments, are made whole again. The grave becomes a womb. And we are reborn. Children now not of flesh, but of spirit. No longer fragments, but the whole we are meant to be. No longer broken, but living testaments to the promise of God and the promise of love. The hopes of motherhood, nurture, trust, care, and joy, so often fragmented in this world, are restored. This, my friends, is the promise of which we are children. This is the hope to which we are called. This is the love which transforms us by the means of this man, this God, this cross, and this empty tomb. All that is to come. And yet for now, a little while, we abide. As fragments, yes, but fragments who can cling to this unbroken promise, this promise that we can be, that we will be made whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.